Those of you that have had kids, what were the first words out of your kid's mouth? No. That's a good one. Dada? Mama? Was it, or are you just trying to be? Was it mama? Okay. Dada? Any others? Mine? Yeah, those are actually those are the four I sort of had. Mama, Dada, No, or Mine, the different factions of babies. The mama faction. Can I hear it from the mama faction? Amen. Amen. The Dada faction. Amen. But usually it's my own fact. Mine. Immaturity, we expect it of babies. But when it comes to the church, that's not a good thing. And that's what Paul starts to address now as we're going through 1 Corinthians. Grow up. Because of what they believe and just focusing on the wrong things, wrong wisdom, wrong worldview, wrong value systems, there were problems that Paul's going to address throughout as we go through this letter. Things like ethical issues, immaturity, today we'll talk about, spirituality, their version or understanding of it, and factions, and lack of unity. And so Paul, especially in this section, is dealing with a lot of this. As we've been going through so far last week, he was talking about spiritual maturity, that God's revealed wisdom results in believers. Corinthians, you're believers. Despite what's going on in the world, you're believers, and you're supposed to have the mind of Christ, especially humility and unity, always good. And the unbelievers, the outside world, can't and won't understand. And so the contrast last time was between spiritual and what were called spiritual man and natural man. Believers and unbelievers, natural man. Well, now this time, God's wisdom, that we've been talking about, the foolish wisdom, foolish preachers, foolish churches, all that, those who are spiritual, the believers, should not be, the word in my translation is carnal. Other translations will have worldly or fleshly, childish, immature, worldly, because that creates strife. And you need to grow up, Corinthians. And so this is now for us. We do a pretty good job with this, but we can always grow and learn from God's word. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the first 9 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, grow up. And first of all, he'll start off with how this is a family context. Once again, Paul, to this worldly church, points out that I'm part of you. Your brothers and sisters, this is family. It's not me saying you, it's we. And so I like his tone, which is always appropriate for pastors, for any of us, as we are disciplining children, whatever it is. So, grow up. Well, first of all, first 4 verses, the problem with babies. The problem with babies, verses 1 and 2, look at their food, the food. And I, brethren, brothers and sisters, family, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, the spiritual, the believers, but as to carnal or worldly or fleshly, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. So babes, the food, and my word carnal, and there's a couple different words here, but this one, the idea of be made of the flesh in the world, which is part of Corinth, was more enmeshed in the world, or they were of the world, even though they're in the world, as opposed to, wait, no, we're supposed to be different as Christians. And so they were moved by human drives. That was the main thing that drove them. And as one Anthony Thistleton, I wrote a big thick book, said that like infants, like babies, the church, think of this as now the church, like babies, the self-centered, competitive naivete, the just silliness, which characterizes young children who have not yet learned to respect the interest of the other, will lead to misjudgments about the quality and required methods of Christian proclamation and teaching. And so because of the factions and what we're talking about, this is in the context of, we like the fancy speakers. We want to be entertained, Paul. And Paul and Apollos, and you're different. Paul's saying, like babies, you're acting like the mama faction, the dada faction, or the mine faction. That's what worldly Christians do, the factions. And so the Corinthians were more concerned with style and entertainment, which is nothing wrong with that, but not at the expense of biblical content. And that's what Paul is telling them. You're babes. You need to grow up. Your food is milk, like a baby, a little pablum. Well, then what about their flesh? Verse 3. You're still not able to receive solid food, for you are still, my translation, carnal, worldly, fleshly. For where there are envy, strife, in my translation, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So this is a little different word for worldly, fleshly, but this is to be characterized by the flesh, the world. And it's an evaluation of somebody that's centered on themselves. You're being selfish, like little babies, and that it's going to affect your values, your attitudes, your judgments, how you look at things, because you're being very self-centered. And that's going to result in envy, strong resentment and jealousy. We don't have a problem with that in our world, do we? And in churches sometimes. Strife, bitter discord and quarreling. We expect it in the world, not pleasant, but we expect it in the world, but not in the church. And once again, I praise God for this church family. We get along pretty well, but can you think to past churches where just the anger and the divisions, and then my translation has the word divisions. You're acting carnal, worldly, carne, that's why the word for flesh. You're acting like the world and children, Corinthians. Grow up, okay? And that's resulting in the factions, verse 4. And you're behaving like mere men, humans, the world. Then verse 4, for when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal or mere men following after human leaders? And that's sort of the main idea of the divisions, that picking our favorite. Ooh, that's entertaining. I like the way Paul does it. I like the way Apollos does it. And he's saying that you're acting like men. And so Paul is going to start talking about himself and Apollos, who was also in Corinth. Back, we read that in Acts chapter 19. But we're different, yes, but we are unified. We're an example, not of factions, but of unified in our service to Christ. We're not competitors to be championed. Folks in ministry, so especially pastors, people in ministry, but for all of us, we're all to be working together for the common cause, not competing. A lot of church splits and a lot of church problems are groups and factions and accumulating our people and those people over there and these people. And that is not what the church is about. And in Corinth, it was a real problem. So they're factions. Well, then verses 5-9, so you have the problem with babies. Well, how about the perspective on growth? So babies, you got to grow up and sort of notice the metaphors that Paul uses. Verses 5 and the first part of verse 6, the farmers. Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered. And so the farmers, they're both ministers. In fact, that's the word for deacon, where we get our Greek word. It's a Greek word for deacon, servants, ministers. We both were assigned our tasks. We had different tasks, but we were assigned our tasks by God. We didn't, ooh, I want to do this. Remember, it was a Simon Magus that why don't you give me that ministry, and that'll be my ministry, and you guys go somewhere else so I can do the spectacular. No, God assigns the tasks. We're just lowly field hands, farmers, planting, and the tense of this, that I planted, Apollos watered. You need both, but they're just field hands, and they're both working together. Because then the farmers, what about the fruit? Second half of verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither the one who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Both are nothing, Paul says. It's not about the planters, the waters, the waterers, the field hands. Both are nothing. It's God who causes the growth. Ultimate growth is God. And the tense of the verb there, it's a little heavier, we might say, that this is a continuing action that God does. And oh, by the way, God supplied the seed, the soil, the water. He created them. You know, that's sort of the farmers that recognize we trust in God to bring the harvest. We need to be faithful servants. We were talking earlier in an adult Bible study this morning about first fruits. And what that meant, that we are praising God because he is guaranteed to cause the growth and bring in the harvest. We just do our part. And Paul is saying, we're just the field hands with important jobs, different, but we're working for a common cause, for God's glory, and God brings the increase. Now for you Baptists, I got enough Baptists. I had to come up with an F. So the financing. Okay, verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward, there's the financing, sorry, according to his own labor. So the planting water, they complement, they are one, they complement each other. They are equally important ministries that will each earn financing, no, the reward, I like the F though, for their own labor. Not according to their success, but their faithfulness. Because the increase, the cause, is God. Now, this is just something for pastors in particular, but anybody in ministry, the success syndrome, where we like to look at ourselves and look what I've done, not recognizing it's God who ultimately does it all. We are just faithful stewards. Think of the parable of the talents. It wasn't how much they did the success according to the world, but whether or not they were faithful. And in our lives, that's important as well. So, one last F, the field. See how I do that? How many of you, Lee, F, did you get to F? That's like the sixth letter of the alphabet, I think. Did you ever get that far at West Point? You got to F, because that was the grade you got on most of your papers, probably. Verse 9, the field. For we are, now notice God is repeated and emphasized. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So three times, God's emphatic. Co-workers, field, building. Next week, you'll sort of pick up on the metaphor of a building. But it's God's. Soli Deo Gloria. All to God's glory. And that's the whole point, Paul is saying. You Corinthians are glorying in the wrong stuff. It's about God. So, what are some things we can take away from this? Well, because of the division and what they were worried about, and we'll get more into this as we get into Corinth, what they were concerned about, the flashy stuff. Rather than being obsessed with, I call it secret knowledge, but deeper doctrines, wanting our ears tickled, we should apply what we know first. Until we get the basics, you're not ready for this stuff. And the Corinthians thought they had arrived where, well, no, you haven't, Corinth. You haven't even got the milk down yet. And so Paul is very insistent that there's not some two-tiered knowledge that comes from Greek Gnosticism, secret handshakes and secret knowledge, but it's a failure to digest what you've been fed. You've been fed milk, that's the milk is solid, this is good food, but you haven't even demonstrated you understand the milk, and you're worried about all this double secret stuff? That says more about the listeners than the diet. It's a reflection on us when that's all we want our ears tickled. And a quote, yeah, we think of ourselves as gourmands. You know, I like the fancy food, but yet we're lactose intolerant. We can't even get through the milk. In fact, I had not here. You folks are all saints. Well, in one sense. In the positional aspect, you're saints and the rest, no. But I had someone once, you know, complain that give us some real meat to chew on. And by that meant legalistic, self-righteous, you know, something to feel good about ourselves, to glorify self versus, no, until you understand the gospel and the basics of who we are as sinners and who we are by God's grace in Christ, you don't need to be worried about that. You need to get the basics down. And so that's what Paul is saying, that we should apply what we know first. Like I read for the call to worship, that if you notice, that Paul prayed for the church of Colossae, that you'll be filled with the knowledge of God, that's good, but then that would affect your walk so that you're pleasing Him, fruitful, and increasing. You get the basics down, you know, military, we do this. You get the basics down, then we move on to the advanced training and advanced understanding. But you can't understand this until you understand this. And that's what the Corinthians just wanted, to go straight to the double secret stuff. And then, by the way, from last week, and remember, the world cannot, good pun, this was from Dr. Garland, wrote about, the world cannot stomach the cross. They can't even get the milk, because that's just foolishness, the message of the cross. So, obsessed with the secret knowledge, applying what we know. Secret knowledge, those are the minors, the minor, like doctors, things like that, versus the majors of understanding the essentials of who we are in Christ. Now, there is a sense, because the context determines what Paul's talking about here, milk, which is important, but we've got to get that first. The writer to Hebrews uses the same idea in a little different context. For proper growth, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So this is a little different use of, not, you know, there it's, you've got to, you should be beyond milk. You should be having good ribeye steak and baked potatoes. But see, that's a little different idea. But that, for us, we don't just sit at the immature baby level, which is solid food, but we should be growing. And what the Bible calls that is what we call sanctification. You've heard that term, big word, but there's a aspect of it where we have been sanctified, we have been set apart. We are all saints, comes from the same root word, that we have been set apart, so our position can't change. But the process throughout life, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. That's maturity, that's growing. And as Paul's pointing out, ultimately the growth comes from God. And being filled by the Holy Spirit. That's just a deep topic. But growing and maturing, folks, and that, as Christians, if you're a Christian, we can't help but grow. But there's a challenge for pastors, just some of the divisions in the church, like in Corinth, is people, well, I've been a Christian for 60 years. You sure? You act like a baby. Where's the growth been? When are you going to get weaned off the pablum? And so that's sanctification. In fact, some of you, any of you grow up or Campus Crusade and some of their teaching, any of you, Campus Crusade? Okay, and they call it crew now because we don't want to talk about crusades with as Christians. This is, it can be very helpful, but may, if you, and some of you don't, Sue, you'll remember this, but the picture of who's on the throne of your life, you know, this can be helpful. So, the self-directed, this is the natural person, an unbeliever. Here's your life. Who's sitting on the throne? Self is. Jesus is nowhere inside your life. You're an unbeliever. So self is on the throne, Christ is outside, and you know the little dots are interests, resulting discord, frustration. Your life's a mess apart from Christ. Okay, that's unbelievers. This one I could change it a little bit, direct, self-directed. But this is what Paul is saying are the carnal Christians. Self, Jesus is in your life, you're a Christian, but you're still sitting on the throne or trying to sit on the throne and the world and being controlled by the world. And so still, you know, your life is discordant and all these things. And then you can read all that. That's from some of their teaching stuff. But that's being a carnal or a worldly Christian, okay? Then here's what Paul is saying to grow up to. You know, once again, here's your life. Christ is on the throne, where he ought to be. I mean, he is, whether you know or not. And self is down here at the foot of the throne. And look how organized in your life is when it comes to living life for God's glory. And, you know, here's the love, joy, peace, some of the fruit of the Spirit, all these different aspects. It can be very helpful as long as we don't. Part of what the criticism came from this is that there's a branch called carnal Christians that we're going to allow to live, that we're going to allow them to live as carnal Christians. And then you get to, maybe some of you have ever heard of the Lordship salvation, some people say that Jesus is my Savior, but he's not my Lord. Okay, three types of Christians. No, Jesus is Lord. And you're not a Christian unless you have trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior. And so maybe there's immaturity, it's a helpful diagram, but let's not come up with three different types of people. It's just the challenge for us as Christians is to have recognized the reality of Christ on the throne and to grow up. Okay, so anyway, that can be helpful, but it also has caused some major divisions in Christian thinking. So, next, obsession with secret knowledge, once again, can breed worldly self-centeredness and childish divisions. So this is sort of the reality. In Paul's telling the Corinthians, your divisions, you're acting like children, especially when it comes to divisions for your favorite, you know, Paul, Apollos, the factions and divisions. And that's a symptom of you're worried about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, and then you're arguing about it, and you're acting like children. And the divisions and self-centeredness. And that's in Galatians chapter 5. I won't read it all, but the works of the flesh. Some of the words are used. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Those are the works of the flesh being worldly. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So let's not worry about this until we've exhibited or let's make sure we understand this. Remember, milk, the unity, humility, and unity that ought to characterize and be part of the foundation of being in Christ. And then finally, for pastors, you know, and this is, Giles, you know, and anybody else that's been in ministry, pastors can be very competitive where it becomes about us and our ministry. It's not a competition. God should always be central. If the ministry is about the pastor, that's a cult, basically. And so it's not a competition. And that's what Paul is saying to the Corinthians, because we like Paul, we like Apollos. Earlier he said, we're of the party of Christ. Ooh, I want to be of the party of Christ. Or Peter. No, it's the field hands. Those doing the ministry are nothing but faithful stewards who have been given their role by God. He causes the growth. And that's the books have been written, just success syndrome. And what is the main emphasis of a ministry? Well, it better be God, the glory of God, Christ, the centrality of Christ. And that's what Corinth was not getting. And we do a pretty good job here once again. But always, if we lose focus of this, then we're going to have the divisions here because we're arguing over stuff that doesn't
matter.
Shouldn't matter. And in the proper context, some of you might remember this statement by a politician not too long ago, you didn't build that. When it comes to ministry, that's exactly right. You didn't build it, God did. And that's the idea then for Jesus. We want to hear, as pastors, as all of us, whatever your ministry, or we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts later in this, well done, good and faithful servant. God will take care of the success. And we as humans judge the success a lot differently than God does. We just want to be faithful. So, in the church family, only babies are self-centered and demand their way. And throw temper tantrums for their faction. So, the challenge for us always is to grow up and keep the main thing the main thing. And as Paul's saying, because we are Christians because of what God has done, act like who you are. Grow up. Do you need to? Grow up, because the unity and the humility of Christ himself is demonstrated. And Paul's saying, and Paul and Apollos, we're unified. Our unity and humility, you guys are the ones fighting over us. We are serving as lowly field hands. And so that unity and humility, how is it demonstrated? Well, we're going to serve communion now. Think what Jesus did. Reminding ourselves about why we're even here in the first place. So we're going to step the Apostles' Creed and community and communion. That should be unifying us. And I'll be reading, which anytime while we're going through Corinthians, I'll always use 1 Corinthians 11 because Paul had to get on them for communion too. They were divided in their communion, which is something we are not, by God's grace, we are not going to be. So, for the glory of God alone, let's go to Beth. Would you pull up the, please stand. We're going to recite the Apostles' Creed, and then we will be serving communion.